Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. Put those earbuds in, turn up the volume, because it's the time for another edition of Double Take Sports Talk with the Watch Brothers right now.
All right, let's go over what we got. Here's the headlines from the NFL and MLB.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Double Take Sports Talk with the Watch Brothers.
So, Double Take Sports Talk until
then. Realize that he does what's going on.
Shout out.
Daryl, how you feeling?
Not too bad. Not too bad. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. Yeah. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. I know I did.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Got a kitchen full. Kitchen full. Full of food. Man.
Yeah. No doubt.
Ooh-wee.
Mm-hmm.
Man, my stomach is still full, boy.
Right, you hear me?
Man.
So, yeah. All right, so let me do our open talk real quick. Let's have an open talk real quick about the Ahmaud Arbery case and briefly on Steve Kerr's statement. And they're going to be very brief. Well, not me, very brief. I'm just going to read off what's going on here for those that don't know, and a lot of you probably would know, of course, by now. The three men were guilty, was charged guilty by a jury of killing Ahmaud Arbery. The total counts, I believe, was 29 charges that they faced. And I think it was nine apiece, should be 27. Now let's see somebody got added one. But, okay, sorry. All right, so real quick, Greg McMichaels. Nope, sorry, Travis McMichaels. Malice murder, he was found guilty. And then the felony murder of count 1, 2, 3, and 4 was guilty. Aggravated assault, counts 1 and 2, guilty. False imprisonment to commit false imprisonment, guilty. And a criminal attempt to commit a felony, also guilty. Okay, we got a problem here.
Yeah, notice your laptop is moving.
Like, yes. Yes, and it's very annoying right now. So, all right, let's try this again. Greg McMichael, malice murder, he was found not guilty. However, in the felony murders account 1, 2, 3, and 4, all found guilty. Aggravated assault, counts 1 and 2, found guilty. False imprisonment to commit, false imprisonment, guilty. And criminal intent to commit a felony, guilty. Lastly but not least, William Bryan, malice murder, not guilty. Felony murder, count 1 was not guilty, but counts 2, 3, and 4 were guilty. Aggravated assault, count 1 was not guilty, and count 2 was guilty. False imprisonment to commit false imprisonment was guilty, and criminal intent to commit a felony was also guilty. So all the men was convicted. They will face sentencing. Don't know when. It's going to be a little while, but the judge pretty much already just set it flat out based on the, you know, crime is going to be pretty much life in prison. So that's what's going on there. And then I seen Steve Kerr's statement on Kyle Rittenhouse, and I wanted to just share his little brief statement real quick too. After Kyle Rittenhouse was found guilty, I'm sorry, not guilty, he said this: "We're seemingly okay with a teenager's right to take an AR-15 into an area where there's civil unrest. That is really scary." That's what he said. And I agree with Kerr.
Yep.
I think that it is not necessary for him to have done that. There should have been no reason why he carried a gun to go down and have bad intentions, because that's exactly what it was. It was bad intentions. Straight up. And that is a big problem. What's your thought?
And it ticked me off even more. I happened to see on Facebook that they put somebody posted a photo of him, Kyle Rittenhouse,
mm-hmm.
out at a restaurant with probably some families and friends, I guess. And
supposed to have been with Michael Flynn.
Yeah, either that, and he was sitting next to a lady, and that's all I can say on that.
Right. No, I'm just saying, I think it was supposed to have been with Michael Flynn. I don't think he was pictured, but I think it was supposed to have been with him, and I could be wrong, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but the whole gist of this is what I'm saying is that it ticked me off when I decided to take my little curious behind and look at the comments or whatever. And everybody's just so proud of this boy. Say, hey, good luck in school. You know, you're doing your best to try to defend this country and defend whatever it is that you was trying to defend. That stuff bothers me because, first of all, you got a man. Let me take that back. You got a boy that was actually illegally aged to have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to go cross state and cause havoc, he's doing a good job.
Right.
You're proud of him?
Right. That's it's sad.
What in your right mind? What in your right mind to believe to feel that this dude is doing a fine job?
Yeah.
He killed two innocent white people. Two.
Black
people. Wounded one. I thought it was white.
No, I think they were black. That was the whole purpose. Civil unrest. I think they were black.
No, I thought he was down there to cause havoc on the Black Lives Matter protest.
Hey, I think he shot three black people, but wounded just one and killed the other two.
I think you might want to check that. I think it was three white people.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Hang out, Daryl. Daryl. Daryl?
Yeah.
Yeah, you froze. I heard you.
I know.
I heard you, but I didn't hear you through the earphones here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I didn't even hear you calling my name. I was like, huh.
I tried. Yeah, I'm still reading, but I'm just gonna say that at this point, I'm just concerned for people that think that this is just an okay move to honor him as such a great patriot, knowing that he committed a crime and that he needs to pay for his crime. Because if had that been a black person that did that, they would have definitely made sure that they threw the book at him.
Oh, yeah. That was the refrigerator at him.
Yeah, that just bugs me. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene wanting to propose a bill to give him a medal, the Freedom of Medal, the Freedom Medal, and that bugs me. Some of the Congress people on the Republican side are wanting him to be an intern in Congress, which also bugs me because this is starting to seem like it's turning into the Confederate States of America all over again. And that is going to be the biggest concern heading into all of this, is to make sure that we have to stop people like them from doing what they're doing right now.
Yep. And that is our, and that's our number one problem. This is the change that needs to be brought in, because if we feel that this conservatorship is actually the way it's supposed to be, when you feel like that it's okay to go across state lines while you're underaged and illegal at that, carrying the AR-15 and then causing havoc, that's not the way that you should set an example to
anybody because he broke the law regardless. He broke the law. And no matter how anybody else look at it, call him a hero and stuff like that, he broke the law.
Okay, so you're right. That's my fault. They are white.
And yeah, it's still wrong. They was, it's still, oh, yeah, it's still wrong. It's no still doubt wrong, about regardless. It. It's still wrong. You still up there trying to interrupt a Black Lives Matter protest. That's not good.
That tells me a lot about him. That tells me a lot about him. Yeah. It's bad news when somebody like him has to go across state lines to participate in a Black Lives Matter protest that...
Because you feel like that Black people are actually going to destroy the country. Yeah, do it. Let's try to prove a case.
If anything,
they're just trying to send a message.
If anything, what he did was a good example of him destroying the country. Remember exactly. That.
I agree. I definitely agree. I got to say this, and I'm just going to come straight out with it. Scott Hansen. Man's a champ.
Okay, who is Scott Hansen?
Scott Hansen is the host of NFL Red Zone.
Oh, okay.
So he'll go. He don't go to the restroom during the whole duration of NFL Red Zone. It takes 7 to 8 hours. No commercial breaks. No nothing.
Please don't tell me he wears a Depend.
No. He just goes. He dehydrates the Sunday of, or the night before. He dehydrates. And then right before the show comes on, he goes to the restroom, lets it all out. And then boom, he's on there for seven straight hours.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad
That's
idea.
A soldier.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it.
There's no way I would have to go to the bathroom and definitely pee, especially when I'm drinking. I have to.
Yeah. So he dehydrates. He don't drink anything. I don't understand how you can do it. I have a cotton mouth. Ain't no way in the world I could do it.
I have to drink tea, something. And I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I have to.
Dude, just he's a champ.
He is a champ.
He's a straight champ for that.
I commend him because I can't do that.
I can't do it.
If we were doing this podcast for 7 to 8 hours, I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to the bathroom.
I'm going to go pee.
Yeah. Ain't no way in the world. I'm just going to sit up there and hold my kidneys are not too good for that.
Right.
My kidneys are not too good for that.
Yeah. But, all right, so we're going to prepare for our next segment. We'll be right back for our platform talk. We'll be right back.
Come on, Rebel. Drop it. Oh, good boy. Go and get it.
Hey, Pumpkin.
Hey, Daddy, catch.
Oh. Hey, you playing a Pickaninny school play? What you do to your hair?
I know. You got struck by lightning.
Shut up, Johnny. Teresa's always trying out new hairdos.
Oh, my God. What did you do to me, Elizabeth?
That's what I asked her. Hey, Shug, I hope you got me a hype already.
You are such a retard. Did you get some color friend to do your hair like that?
What color friend?
Huh?
Are you going over to Color Town again? You taking her? I told you both to stay away from there.
Ain't taking her anywhere.
I mean what I say to you, boy.
I play ball with them, Daddy. I don't see why they should walk 3 miles after practice when I can drop them off. Takes me 10 minutes.
Hush, Matthew. Johnny, do you want the whole neighborhood to hear you? Teresa, go sit at the table.
Who did this to your hair?
Huh?
Don't you lie to me, girl.
I did it, Daddy. I was planning on picking it, just like you said.
The scene that you're listening to is Any Day Now, a Lifetime TV series that started in 1998 and ended in 2002. This is about racial discrimination back in Birmingham, Alabama. And this is the reason why that we're having racial conversations. This is why we're having racial tension. It's because of these conversations that white people are having with their kids versus the what black kids' parents are having conversations about racial issues as well. And this type of behavior, and even though it's a TV show, tends not to be real, but in actual reality, this is a real thing. This is what parents are teaching their children nowadays. This is how they're telling people how to deal, their children, how to deal with colored people. This is what they're telling them. This is not the answer. This is not the answer. And this scene is just the example of many that has to stop.
What if I did have a colored friend?
You'll have plenty of friends your own color to play with. I don't want to discuss it, may I, Elizabeth?
Why? What's wrong with colors?
They're different than us, sugar. Not any worse, not any better, just different. And if they'd stick with their own kind, things would be just fine.
What if my friend was really nice? What if she had good manners? Talk better than us, even.
Oh, man, Elizabeth, they aren't any nicer than us. They're lazy and they steal. They're always dirty, and most of them have ringworm. It gets in that thick hair. It's like steel wool or something.
You ever thought Jesus may be colored?
What?
Ow!
I don't know where you're getting these ideas, but tomorrow you better bring your friends home to play. Do you understand me? Understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the 18-year-old who fatally shot two people during an unrest last year in Kenosha, Wisconsin, has been acquitted of all charges in a criminal trial that divided the nation over questions about gun rights, violence at racial justice protests, and Levitivism. The verdict, delivered on Friday, followed a highly watched trial in which prosecutors struggled to overcome Rittenhouse's claim that he acted in self-defense on the night of the shootings. He had a huge sense of relief for what the jury did to him today. He wishes none of this would have ever happened, which is a lie, but he has said that when he testified, he did not start this, said Rittenhouse defense attorney Mark Richards, speaking to reporters outside the courthouse. To say that we were relieved would be a gross misunderstatement. In 2 weeks of testimony and evidence led by the day-long turn on the stand by Rittenhouse himself, defense attorney was able to convince the jury of 12 that the night on August 25th, 2020 was filled with deadly peril for the then 17-year-old. Jurors deliberated for roughly 27 hours over the course of 4 days before pronouncing Rittenhouse not guilty on all five counts, first-degree intentional homicide, first-degree recklessness homicide, first-degree attempted intentional homicide, and 2 counts of first-degree reckless endangerment. The jury was also asked to consider lesser versions for several counts, but would not sway. While we were disappointed in the verdict, it must be respected. We are grateful to the members of the jury for their diligent and thoughtful deliberations, to the Kenosha County District Attorney's Office, in a statement. We ask that a member of the community, of our community to continue to express their opinions and feelings about this verdict in a civil and peaceful manner. And the prosecutors declined to give further comment. What happened on that day? Rittenhouse armed himself with an AR-15 style rifle on the night of unrest at Kenosha, sparked by the police shooting of Jacob Blake, a 29-year-old black man who was left paralyzed after an encounter with a white officer. Rittenhouse, who lived across state lines in Illinois, testified that he intended to act as a medic and help protect private property. But the night spiraled out of control in a series of chaotic encounters with protesters documented thoroughly by photographers and videos. Rittenhouse shot and killed Joseph Rosenbaum, age 36, and Anthony Hubert, age 26, and injured Gage Krosenkirk, then 26. During the trial, Rittenhouse said that he feared for his life in all three cases. Rosenbaum, he said, had chased him and was grabbing for his rifle. Mr. Rosenbaum was chasing me. He said he was going to kill me if he got me alone. I was alone. I was running from him. I pointed it at him, but it didn't stop him from continuing to chase me, Rittenhouse testified. Afterwards, he ran towards police. As he ran towards police, others, including Hubert and Grossenkirk, began to chase him. Hubert struck him with a skateboard. Visual evidence confirms that. Grocer Krug was holding a loaded Glock pistol, which he admitted to a cross-examination was pointed at Rittenhouse, though he said it was unintentional. Let's look at another article real quick, in a very brief one. Satoya Brown was released after 15 years in prison for murder. Satoya Brown, who served 15 years of a life sentence for killing a man when she was 16, has been released from a Nashville prison, Tennessee officials announced early Wednesday. This article was on August 7, 2019. Earlier this year, the then governor, Bill Haslam, took the unusual step of granting Brown clemency for what he called the tragic and complex case, a major victory for Brown and her supporters who have years maintained that the 2004 killing was an act of self-defense. In 2006, Brown was convicted of aggravated assault and first-degree murder for killing 43-year-old real estate agent Johnny Allen, who she went home with after she was picked up for sex at a Sonic drive-in in Nashville. She told police that she pulled the pistol out of her purse and fatally shot Allen because she thought he was reaching for his gun. She then fled with Allen's gun and money as she drove away in his pickup truck. Prosecutors claimed that Brown shot Allen as part of a plan to rob him, but Brown told police that she was acting to protect herself. She was convicted and sentenced to a life in prison sentence over the killing. So you have Satoya Brown, a black woman who was acting in self-defense, who also took the money of trying to think of what I should call him. A person she was wanting to go and be with, apparently. And she took his money and ran off with it, as well as shooting him because she was acting in self-defense. And then you have, and she was also 16. Then you also have Kyle Rittenhouse, who was 17, crossed state line with a weapon, and is pretty much acquitted of all five charges. All five. And then got thrown out. This in particular charge that should have been charged as a federal crime, Section 7, sell, deliver, or transfer to a juvenile. This is punishable to 1 year of imprisonment, other transferal to reason to believe juvenile will commit a crime with gun and ammunition, and up to 10 years of imprisonment. The crime includes that a firearm license face up to 5 years imprisonment, and they may not sell, deliver, or transfer a handgun or handgun-only ammunition to a person who is under the age of 18. And this is also a person under the age of 18 may not possess a handgun or handgun-only ammunition, with the exception to the apply of Section A and Section B of Section 7, where such a juvenile possesses written permission of the parent. The firearm licensee may not sell any gun or ammunition to any person under the age of 18, and may not sell a handgun or handgun ammunition to a person under the age of 21. And again, this is only acceptable to sections A and B, where the juvenile possesses written permission of the parent. So this should have been something that was considered in the charges that he had, but the judge threw that out because he simply is a white supremacist along with Kyle, Kyle Rittenhouse. He did not go down there for the purpose of being a medic and protecting private property. You should know this by now, that he did not go down there to do that. He only did that to make sure that white supremacy is still strong and that they are still superior. That's why he did what he did. And the investigation should be included, rather, if he did get permission to have a gun, and that should be investigated thoroughly, because he should pay for that in particular crime, but that is a federal crime. There should be no reason why he walked, and Satoya Brown did not walk and serve 15 of it before she was finally released. It just don't make sense, and that's what we talk about with the injustice of racism and discrimination in America. This is what we talk about.
Today is betrayal and mental health. So believe it or not, being betrayed can actually mess with your mentals, as my song which would say, your mentals. But it will mess with your mental health. It'll mess with your brain. It can cause a lot of things. So let's dig into it. An article written out last month, October 21st of 2021. Why betrayal can cause trauma and how to start healing. The healing will be later on in this series. If someone close to you has ever broken your trust, you probably felt the sting of betrayal. This pain can leave deep wounds. Any type of betrayal can cause emotional distress, but you might experience lingering trauma when someone you depend on to respect your needs and generally help safeguard your well-being violates the trust you place in them. Betrayal trauma typically refers to the lingering pain and turmoil experienced after betrayal by a parent or another childhood caregiver, or betrayal by a romantic partner. Those are the two main important ones right there. Betrayal by a parent or a caregiver, or by your romantic partner. When your partner, in my case, lived together for 7 years, just walked out on me. Just walked out on me. And to be honest, I still really have no reason why it happened that way. But evidently, there was a lesson there that I needed to know. And there was a lesson there that I needed to learn. Have I still figured that out? No. Why haven't I figured that out? Because I am still in the middle of the pain of the betrayal. The fact that I trusted her. You know? And just to walk up and leave. Walk up and leave. You know, it's a bit frustrating. Now, you would think at this point that I would be healing from all of this and be well healed and move on. Well, honestly, yes and no. Yes, to the part of I have actually, you know, come to grips to moving on. I have accepted the deal. You know, I moved on. I moved on to another relationship. And I went on and had a child. Little girl. Aaliyah Darren Watts. You know. A lot of people will take you down. Like, are you really proud of yourself for doing that? I am, but a lot of people may not be. You know. But we know that sitting yourself down and actually thinking about the pain and the trauma that that person that has you have had 100% trusted actually just go and do what they do to betray you. Some of that stuff really just don't go away. Just like losing a parent to death, or losing somebody that you really care about to death. They say, oh, you can grieve and then heal and move on, but you don't really grieve and move on. My grandmother's been dead for almost 10 years. But it would be 9 years Christmas Day.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for listening. I'm Darren. That's Darren on the opposite side.
All right.
All right. Again, thank you so much for listening. You could be anywhere in the world, but you are right here listening to us. So thank you so much for listening. It is greatly an honor and a privilege to be able to sit down with everybody and just, you know, talk sports and talk anything that we need to get off our chest. So, meantime, we do have a mental health discussion, Daryl, that we need to talk about here in just a moment. But I'm going to wipe out everything else first that I need to do here real quick, which ain't going to take long either. But I just want to get through this before we talk about this mental health ordeal that we so desperately need to talk about, because it is such a big thing to me. Yeah. It should be a very big thing to you as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact that this happened, really, it really just needs to be talked about. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had everything up before then. Okay. So, Saints running back Alvin Kamara is ruled out with a knee injury. I think they play it tonight, right?
Yeah, they play it tonight.
Okay. So, it's tonight. We're recording this on Thanksgiving night. Due to time constraints, we're supposed to have been had this done Wednesday night. Time constraints.
So, going on, yeah.
Yeah. Me and my personal stuff. I had an MRI Wednesday morning. So after that, I just wasn't filling up to anything. So everything just got thrown off at the Durrell, you know, had his daughter over here. And, you know, just a lot of things just going on. Attention in one place at a time, stuff like that. So they're playing tonight. So Alvin Kamara is ruled out. Aren't they playing Saturday, Thursday night?
It's supposed to be the regular Thursday night schedule.
Night matchup.
Yeah. 8:20.
Okay. All right. So now, Philip Lindsay going to the Dolphins. He was picked up off waivers by the Texans. Used to play for the Texans. Now, will this help the Dolphins? To me, yes, because now you have two people that can run. Tua when he's not injured and Philip Lindsay. They both can run the ball. So that's going to make Miami a legitimate threat now that Philip Lindsay is, you know, in addition to the backfield. So I think that this defenses of these opponents of Miami is going to have to pay a little bit more attention to Miami's offense right now. And that's just my honest opinion. So Miami, it might have been too late, but I think they have a legit run for the playoffs on this behalf. What do you think?
I agree. Tua definitely has improved. I think he has actually shown the strength that he can improve on the throwing game if you get Philip Lindsay involved, especially if Philip Lindsay is actually on the full-time role. If he's in the starting lineup, stuff like that, don't know how that's going to work out. But with Houston, it didn't work out because he was a backup. And that really threw off his timing. Things wasn't the same. So hopefully he goes into Miami. Hopefully that he gets at least a little bit more of a load of carrying the ball and running the football. But I believe it should help. It should help the Dolphins too.
Meanwhile, the $790 million settlement in the suit over the St. Louis Rams departure is now settled. And then the Hall of Fame class of 2022 semifinals is Anquan Boldin, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, Devin Hester, Robert Mathis, Vince Wilfork, and DeMarcus Ware. All right. And then for my analytics quarterback performance for week 11, being number five, is Jimmy Garoppolo. Actually, it's a two-way tie. Number five, both being Jimmy Garoppolo with 126.3 passer rating, 72.7% passing, 176 yards, two touchdowns, and no picks. And Cam Newton also with 120.5 passer rating, with him completing 77% of his passes, technically a 78, 189 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Number four, Colt McCoy for Arizona, 112.9 passer rating, 79% of his pass completed, 328 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Okay, I see what I did wrong. So it's actually going to be this. Jimmy Garoppolo is five, Cam Newton is four, Colt McCoy is three, Taylor Heinicke is number two, with 141.3 passer rating, with a 72% passer. I'm sorry, with a 72% of his passes completed, 206 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and being number one. Oh, no, it's not. It is. Sorry. I forgot about this one person. Kirk Cousins being the number two. I'll go through it again. 128.4 passer rating, 68% of his passes completed, 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And then number one, Mr. Aaron Rodgers with 148.4 passer rating, 69% of his passes completed, 385 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. So Jimmy Garoppolo and Cam Newton tied for fifth. Colt McCoy is in fourth. Taylor Heineke is third. Kirk Cousins in second, and Aaron Rodgers as the number one man in quarterback analytics performers for week 11 in the NFL. All right. Finally, but not least, going back to the headlines, got to talk about this. Dura, I don't know if you've seen this or heard about this, but Minnesota defensive end Everson Griffin refused to come out of his residence since Wednesday morning. He finally exited his home without incident and is now getting treatment. Griffin made some serious posts on Wednesday morning claiming that someone was in his home and was trying to kill him, which those posts has been recently deleted. And this is where a lot of NFL players are now starting to speak out on his behalf, saying that mental health is serious. Daryl, your thoughts on this, because you do talk mental health on your podcast. And considering what this man is going through, there is a lot of processing that Everson Griffin will have to go through. During your time and doing this podcast and doing your homework, what have you seen, what have you noticed on the behalf of mental health based on Everson Griffin?
Well, first of all, let's just say this right now, and I'm not being funny when I say this, but Brad's not in the right place, okay? He is specifically not in the right place. And for everything that he has been through before this happened, he is going through something. I always say that. He's going through something. So the first thing that I'm going to hear, while I've been doing all this research and all of this and all of that, we've heard it with Andrew Luck. We've heard it with, not exactly heard it, but Rick Mayfield. We've heard it with Ben Simmons. It's like, hey, you got to play. Regardless to how you're feeling, you've got to play. But at least at this point, that the Vikings is actually taking his mental health seriously.
Right.
Because something is wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Something is wrong. It could be a really, really bad sense of paranoia, or let me say for a disclaimer that I'm not a psychologist. I'm not that at all. I'm just basing it on opinion for what I see. I actually have to look at the facts before, you know, it actually be. But
here's one. I'll share one with you right now.
Okay.
According to news released, law enforcement and Vikings team psychologists were in communication with Griffin since approximately 7 a.m., but Griffin had refused to come out of his residence for hours, well into the middle of the afternoon. Police said they could not find an intruder in Griffin's residence. Now, early Wednesday morning, Griffin made several Instagram posts, which have all been recently deleted, which I've already read, including a video that showed the defensive end inside his home with a pistol, which he said belonged to him. Quote, saying this, "I'm in my house. N-word tried to pop me. I still got clips left. This is my gun, 45 Wilson Combat, registered to me. I bought all my bullets around town. Dalvin Cook helped me purchase this gun. It all belongs to me. And when they are registered to me, I know exactly where I bought them. I got the cards where I have them on. I have everything."
So let me say this. Based off of that, I could be wrong. I feel like that he is suffering from some kind of sense of severe paranoia. I can't think of a professional term for it, but it's some severe paranoia. The reason why I say that is because he has a gun by his side the whole entire time.
and he's making threats, not making threats, but he was actually trying to protect himself when nobody was actually around. Or he could be striving for some kind of attention. Not in a way that he knows what he's doing to get that attention, but getting attention because he don't realize what he is doing.
Well, let's take a look at another piece of fact real quick. In his first stint with the Vikings, Griffin took a month-long hiatus during the 2018 season to focus on his health and well-being after the team had ordered him to go undergo a mental health evaluation, and after two incidents involving police authorities led him to be hospitalized. He said in April 2019 that it had been a rough year relating to his mental health. Now, Mike Zimmerman said that he's been with us for a long time. He's a good guy, and he works hard. So in his Instagram story, Griffin also wrote this: "I need help. People are trying to kill me at my own house." And he posts screenshots of an alleged text conversation with his agent, Brian Murphy of Athletics First, which he requested help from 911. Griffin was alone inside his home, according to authorities.
Yeah. Some kind of paranoia. Can't pinpoint it. Like I said, not a psychologist. But I believe he is suffering from some kind of paranoia.
Well, this has been going on since 2018.
And he's been dealing with this for a long time.
Yeah. It's hard. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be paranoid, but I think it's deeper than paranoia. Because, we don't know, very, intense details.
Yeah, we don't know
what's going on in his personal life.
Right.
So to speak. Right. So somebody could very well be after him, but, you never know.
Well, even if somebody is after him, still suffer from that paranoia. They could still suffer from it. So if somebody was after him, he could still be suffering from that severe paranoia. And if somebody wasn't after him, he would still be suffering from that paranoia because that is a mental illness. It's a mental illness thing. It's not something that he is actually afraid of or something he can't control. It's that it could be some kind of paranoia.
Here's the bottom line, though, and you will agree with this.
Yeah.
When this kind of thing happened and you don't get it checked and you continue to have it unchecked out, serious things can happen.
Bingo.
Get it checked out. Get it checked out.
That is the most important thing there. You've been right. No matter how big, small it is, get that checked out. You get that checked out.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Get it checked out. Get it checked out.
Yes.
If you guys want that.
Yes, sir.
All right. So we're going to prepare for our next segment of the podcast on the NBA side with Daryl. We'll be right back.
All right. Real quickly, let's go ahead and take a look at some things in the NBA. First thing I'm going to bring up, even though this is 5 days old, I still got to get our thoughts on this. LeBron James and the Isaiah Stewart scuffle brawl. Now, LeBron has already served his suspension. He was only suspended for one game. Isaiah Stewart was suspended for two games. And his suspension ends tomorrow. He's on his last day of his suspension. And there's one thing that really caught my attention when I seen this. The first thing was that LeBron said that it was unintentional. Now, I'm not going to go and say that this is something that was rather it was unintentional or not, or if that was a dirty play or not, he actually didn't mean to. But the things that he did, he actually tried to reach out to him and stuff like that. So I can't really say because he still do a lot of dirty plays in the court anyway. So that's not what really got me, but it just kind of served my attention. What got my attention, what really pissed me off was Gilbert Arenas. when he had made his comment saying, you don't go at the king like that. Bruh, let me be vulgar here for a second. I don't know what kind of piss you're drinking, but you got this whole NBA thing fucked up.
Well, he really has no room to talk, for one, because this is the same dude we talking about that brought a gun to a locker room. What in your right mind think you could speak on this behalf?
And then then threaten your own damn teammate with that gun. It just ticked me off because you just say some stupid shit.
Oh, I know.
Because you feel like that you could just obligate yourself. Now, you look on the flip side of this, you got Shaq and Barkley and everybody else like, I'm going to defend myself too. You throw me in that ball, it's over.
Yeah, especially, and I think what really threw him over the edge is when he saw his own blood. I think that's what threw him over the edge.
That's what threw him over the edge. You have to look, you're in the NBA. It's not necessarily a one man for itself ordeal, but at the same time, it's more of a team thing.
Yeah.
It's a team thing. You're going to have to defend yourself. Teams are going to defend you, but you still got to defend yourself, especially for motherfuckers like him. Mm-hmm. Defend yourself. I don't give a damn if that was a dirty play or not. I'd have been attacking too. I would have been going at. I don't blame Isaiah Stewart for nothing he did.
I don't either.
I don't blame him for charging that to LeBron once, twice,
I don't blame him.
Three times, and four.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I don't blame him for going all around the damn building just to come out of the Lakers locker room to get after him. I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. This is your integrity we're talking about here.
Right.
And everybody can think that this is a big deal. Oh, you're just making so much of it. Y'all got to stop. No. Defend yourself. That's what you do. You see how big that dude is?
Humongous.
He would have tore LeBron to pieces. Mm-hmm. He would have tore him to pieces.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He just ran over dudes all over the court trying to get out there.
Yeah, trucking people. Get up off me. He could have played football.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He wasn't playing.
Yep.
Any more thoughts on that for you?
Mm-mm. No, I ain't got no thoughts on this one. Mm-mm.
Some bullshit. I bet you got a comment on this one. Luke Walton. Fired as the Kings head coach. So, when will the Kings get it together?
I don't have a thought on this one, but I will say that the Kings will not get it together under Alvin Gentry. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't understand how people think that it's okay to hire assistant coaches because they were successful under assistant coaches. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
And they could think I could actually hire him as a head coach.
Right.
Luke Walton didn't work out. Alvin Gentry didn't work out. I don't get it. It just don't make sense to me.
I don't either.
By far, the best person that served as an assistant that worked out perfectly was Phil Jackson. That's it.
I think there's one other one.
Spill it.
Actually, there's two.
Okay, Rick Carlisle.
Yep, that's one.
That's another one, Rick Carlisle.
And let me see if I got this one right. What about Monty Williams?
Yeah. Okay, I had him too.
I think he was an assistant coach, wasn't he?
I think he was an assistant coach. Was it New Orleans?
I think maybe. I don't remember. I'm sure he was an assistant coach.
Yeah, he was an assistant coach. You're right. I thought it was during the New Orleans tenor. You could be right.
I'm looking.
Yeah, confirm that for me. All right. While you do that, I'm going to go ahead and share my best performing point guard so far. Now, this is in no in particular order. This ain't no top five ordeal or nothing like that. This is just straight my best performing point guard so far.
Stephen Curry. He is averaging 28.4 points per game, shooting 45% from the court, shooting 41% from three-point range, and he is averaging 6.6 assists per game. The other Curry, Seth Curry, he is averaging 15.4 points per game. He is shooting 50% from the court, and he is shooting 43.5% from three-point range, and he is averaging 2.7 assists per game. Next, LaMelo Ball, 19.8 points per game. He is shooting 41.7% from the court, and he is shooting 38.4% from three-point range. He is averaging 7.7 assists per game. Next, Chris Paul. 13.9 points per game, 47% shooting from the court, 31.4% from three-point range, and he is averaging an astonishing 10.3 points assist per game. And lastly but not least, Mr. DeMar DeRozan. Let me just say that this man here has killed the mid-range game right next to Chris Paul. 26.3 points per game. He is shooting 49% from the court, 35.6% from three-point range. He is averaging 4.1 points per game. Those are my best performing point guards so far. And lastly but not least, my point guard position, Trae Young. He is averaging 25 points per game, shooting 49% from the court, 41% from three-point range, and he is averaging 9 assists per game. Now, the Hawks did get out to a slow start. You can say that for sure. They have gotten out to a slow start. But they're starting to pick up where they left off from last season. Could it be that the quick offseason, did that play a role in the reason why that Atlanta possibly could have gotten up to the slow start this season? Maybe. Or maybe it's the fact that there's a lot of competition now in the East. That could also be a perspective to look at. Now the bottom is that with Trae Young averaging 25 points per game, it's time for them to start get the ball rolling. It's time for him to start developing those pick and rolls again. It's time for him to start shooting those mid-range games again, attacking the basket and getting to the foul line. The same things that he did last season for them to be successful. That is bottom line. And they're starting to actually pick up on that. Unless if Nate McMillan decides he wants to do something different, he's going to hurt the team doing that. But I digress. I just do a podcast. What's your thoughts?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If he's shooting the ball well, continue to shoot. If he's passing the ball well, continue to pass the ball. If he's doing both, very well, continue to do both. If they broke, don't fix it. I think at this point with him, when the way he's, perfecting his shooting, he's starting to do that very well, which is causing double teams, which he can also be able to pass the ball efficiently at the same time, as long as he's not pressured under passing the ball with two or three people coming down him at a time. So, I think he's doing good where he's at, especially on the behalf of Nate McMillan coaching that team. They have done good since he's been there. So, he didn't work out with the Pacers, but he worked out with the Hawks. So continue to do what you do. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I agree. The only thing that really worked with Nate McMillan when he was with the Pacers was that the Pacers defense was astonishing. They was incredible. You couldn't rule that at all. Under Nate McMillan, the Pacers defense was pinpoint perfect. So, and now that Atlanta's defense is starting to get a little better, things can start picking up also. So you got John Collins, so why not? But other than that, what Monty Williams?
assistant with Portland, associate head coach with the Thunder, and assistant to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, the Thunder. That's what it was. The Thunder. That was the main focus. I thought it was New Orleans, but he's another one that's a successful one.
Well, I don't know if he coached. Yeah, he did coach the Pelicans, but he wasn't.
No, he wasn't an assistant.
No, he was a coach. He was a coach.
That's what I'm saying. I thought it was New Orleans, but it was actually the Thunder because that's where he lost his wife.
Right.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
All right, we'll be right back for the final thoughts or what's next on our podcast next week. So what's on for next week? Because we're short on time, scores from week 12, analytical quarterback performance, and we also need to talk about the Pacers and the Lakers. We'll talk about that next week. And then we'll have the latest headlines as well. Point guard precision and the latest NBA headlines. That's what's all up for next week.
All right, so you want to stay tuned for that. Of course, we're on social media. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at DTSD14 and at the Watch Brothers. I think the Facebook is at the Watch Brothers. Instagram and Twitter is at DTSC2414. We're also on YouTube. You can check out our content there too. Search the box, Double Take Sports Talk with the Watch Brothers, and subscribe to our channel and like our videos. But of course, that's it with us. Thank you for downloading, tuning, and listening to our podcast. I am Daryl. Daryl's right across from me.
Yep.
All right. Catch you on another episode of Double Take Sports Talk. Until then,
ciao.
Ciao.